Kenny McCarthy, and he's Joey Shimotaro. Welcome to the Gloucestercast. This is the Gloucestercast, episode 14, on February 20th, 2012. I'm Kenny McCarthy of CapeAnInfo.com.
And I'm Joey Shimotaro from Good Morning Gloucester. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Joe. Excuse me, I got to adjust my tourniquet here. I'm bleeding.
What?
I'm bleeding.
You bleeding? Bleeding,
from what? I had a shaving incident this morning. I shave with a cup and a brush and the soap, and I used those old double-edged razors. Remember those old double-edged razors our fathers used to shave with?
Yes, yes.
I shaved with one of those. And we had a wrestling match this morning, and I lost.
You lost. Now, is it one of those bleeding things that you just can't stop? You could dab it 5 million times with a piece of blood.
I got a turtleneck on. That's one thing I got going for me. And I also use the styptic pencil. Remember the styptic pencils?
Those things that burns you to your core?
Yeah. Can't find them anywhere either. They're painful and you can't find them.
My dad had one in the where the bathroom is with the drawers there.
Right,
and I remember
right.
The first time I tried that and I had no idea what I was in for. It's amazing that you could pack that much power, that much pain into a little,
into that little stick. That is right. That is right. But it's not to start in already, but it's very ecologically friendly to shave with those razors, even though they're painful. But a lot of things that are ecologically friendly are painful. So,
what do you mean? I don't understand.
There's no plastic. It's not a disposable razor.
And
it's not one of those, razor heads, so there's no plastic involved with it. And the shaving, the soap is, I buy one of those bars of soap like every 2 years.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how long they last. Yeah.
Geez, I'll have to check into that.
Yeah. And the blades are, they're cheaper, but they're painful, Joe. Like
we're going into Kenny's
we're already
regimen. Your manscaping regimen.
That's right. It's President's Day.
It's President's Day
today.
President's Day. What does President's Day mean exactly?
We're off to a slow start, man.
No, but what does it mean? Like, is it all the
I hate it. I guess. Huh? I hate it. I liked Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday and all that other stuff. When a holiday was a holiday.
Do away with those? Or? No, we still have.
Yeah, they still have a birthday, but they get celebrated today, and today's like, let's go to the mall day, or let's go buy a car day. It's not really president. Let's go buy an appliance day. It's not really President's Day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got up on the wrong side of the hammock today, Joe.
You're cranky.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well, we can get into local news if you want to get into local news.
Sure.
Have you read Charles? I think he goes by Charles Gaspien now. Charles Gaspien. He's been writing in the Times. He's fired up. He's swinging wildly, and he is taking no prisoners. Have you read the article? And do you know what's going? Do you kind of know what's going on?
I did. I saw that. I saw the letter, and I've followed the Harbor Walk a little bit, and I think he's a little off.
Yeah. You're for the Harbor Walk, and you think he's off. What point? He made a bunch of points. So what were you?
I don't know. It's a little late now. It's kind of what my gripe is. If you didn't like it, why didn't you speak up at the beginning?
Well, that's kind of true, I guess.
He
did
why
have some good points. He had. I agree with you on that actually, but he did have. I think he brought up so much stuff. There's no way we could cover it all. But there was a couple of points I actually agreed with him on, and then there was a couple things that seems like it was a little mean spirited and sour grapes-ish. But he had some.
That was
good,
the tone.
Yeah, he definitely had some good points.
What were the good? What did you like? What were the good points?
Well, I do agree with him about this, printing another map, because when we were doing the block parties, I talked to all the merchants downtown, and they would always complain about another map. We don't need another map. Like, you know what I mean? It's just it was like something like the chamber put out a map, the DMO put out a map, the city had a map, and then there's always these people that want to come down and sell you. Like, be part of this map or that map. And then there's the Rocky Neck map. And then there's
what's the DMO?
Destination Marketing Organization. They kind of, they're tourism related. They do promotions for, they're membership based. They do a lot of promotions for the city. The Chamber of Commerce does promotions for every kind of business. They're more focused on tourism.
Got it. Okay.
He was on the DMO. I guess he resigned and he's just going off in this he's just going off in this piece. But I like the Harbor Walk. I can't see how I don't see how it hurts.
Nor do I.
And I'd like if they actually do something smart and have the put in the hotel over there, that would kind of link the hotel and bring people right downtown. So I like that. And,
yep.
So I don't know how you argue the Harbor Walk, but I do see how it would get frustrating, the whole map thing. Whatever. He's got some points. I don't know. It's not my style to come up all brash swinging like that. But hey, he got people's attention, that for sure.
Yeah. I saw that you had a letter. You wrote a letter on your own. On GMG this week in response to Jimmy Tarantino, whose thing is tonight. I was really glad to see that you say what you said. I would love to see the private development. I think we could spend a lot of private money down on the waterfront and, free up the civic money. You wouldn't even need the civic money. Do you mind explaining what the different, maybe the acronyms of the different types of legislation and rules and regs that are, kind of hog tying the harbor?
Well, I'll try to just simplify it because I don't really want I don't even want to talk about it, because until like the leaders start leading and show that they're going to actually do something, I don't want to get involved. I spent 25 years going to harbor planning meetings.
Yep.
We came up with proposals that I thought were very reasonable that didn't include condominiums on the waterfront, even though some people say that, condominiums make sense. I understand that, I talked to enough fishermen to understand that the fishermen themselves are not against developing the waterfront. As long as their boats are not being displaced, they care about dockage space. The fishing industry has been so consolidated, and there's so much less fish being landed in Gloucester, that to save the entire footprint for the waterfront as if it was the way it was when they were overfishing is kind of crazy. It doesn't make sense. And every time you explain that to people, they nod their head in agreement. But then, There's a faction of people that it's almost like a townie mentality, and they want everything for themselves, and they think that they don't want other people from out of town coming here and using their resources. But this town has always evolved of people coming and going between the Italians and the Portuguese and the Finns and the
it's always been
an flux of coming in and going out. So it's not like you're gonna. So the only thing you're doing is stopping progress, and investment. And like it's crazy to me, because like how does a politician, if they plan to be a politician, like they say they're running for something 5-10 years down the road, and their opponent goes to them and they say, well, you're obviously not for business, you're not for jobs, you're not for this. And they say, what do you talk about? They say, well, how do you voted against an $80 million capital infusion into your city.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Who does that?
Right,
I mean,
there's
this building that has been empty. I4C2, the city put out to bid, and all these people that say that there's all this waterfront, you know, business that's out there that oh my goodness, you know, there's so much, there's biotechs coming and they're banging down our door. And
they didn't get one bid.
The Sarimi plant, we're so stupid because the Sarimi plant is going to save us and we could and there's millions of dollars slipping through our fingers. I've been listening to this guy talk at every harbor planning meeting, talk about the Sarimi plant.
Yeah.
And so the I4C2 comes up, it's available. If the millions were there, why don't you go to the bank, get the money, and build the Sarimi plant and retire and make the million
right.
of dollars? Well, they don't do it. They don't put their balls on the line. They don't do it. And just like the bird's eye plant before, he didn't put the bid in to put it over there.
Yeah.
So I mean, enough is enough. These people, it's sport. I feel like it's sport for them. They know all they need is 10 signatures, and they could put off a developer for 6 months, and you revisit it, and this, that,
right.
and the other thing. And you know, when you got millions and millions of dollars rolling over in interest, that's how you discourage people from coming in here and investing in our community.
Right,
and
they get sick and they go elsewhere.
It gets sickening, and people. You know, I think like they talk about gentrification. People are going to come here because we have this incredible community. We have the incredible beaches. We have the block parties. We have the fiesta. We have these things, and people are coming here. You're not going to stop
right.
them from coming.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So I think the biggest thing that you can do to hurt our community is not have the money to support strong schools. The biggest, because people, when they're looking for a place to live, you know, smart people, responsible people.
They look at the schools.
They look at the school systems. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's one of the
yep.
biggest things they look at. The next thing, your public safety. You can't keep your fire stations open because you don't have the money. Because
right.
I mean,
right.
it's just, I don't understand a society that values keeping, you know, a way to think is to keep property values down. That to me, it's beyond me. I don't understand a way of thinking is to hold things back. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
I get it.
But the response is overwhelmingly in favor of that. So
yeah.
I don't know. You know, and you know what disgusts me is the downtown merchants that every one of them I talk to, you know. Or they call me to congratulate me on that article. And I'm like, well, why didn't you speak up and talk about that in favor? Why don't you write a letter? And they're like, they're all afraid. I'm like,
people
what are you afraid of?
People off, what? Yeah.
The majority of the people, if you knew the people that came down to say thank you for writing that letter. And to be honest, I didn't want to write the letter.
Right.
Jimmy kind of pulled me. I love Jimmy Tarantino.
I know
I
you
think
do.
He's
yeah.
a great guy. His family is an amazing, amazing, beautiful family. But he put me in a corner. He says, you know, if I didn't post that, if I didn't post what he wrote me to ask me to post, I would have been trying to, you know, hold back from, you know, not putting the facts out there.
Yep.
So he kind of put me in a corner. So I responded to it. And a lot of people kind of were saying, you know, enough is enough. You know, I don't know, whatever. It is what it is. I don't want to be the spokesperson for it. It's not even my battle. I was put into a corner, I responded, and that's it. I don't even want to go to these meetings because it's in the politicians' hands. If they don't have the balls
right,
enough
right.
to do the right thing, I went to these meetings for harbor planning. They didn't listen to us before. The people, the waterfront property owners that are going to be the people that actually have the purse strings, they have to put their balls on the line to go get the financing. If they don't want to listen to them and me, I'm going to concentrate on the blog. I'm going to concentrate on fun. I'm going to concentrate on Bikini Speedo Dodgeball. We're going to have a good time. I don't want to talk about the pus. You know what I mean? I don't want to talk about stuff that I don't have control over, and it just drives me crazy staying awake at night because it makes no sense to me.
And I just saw your note on here on our notes that say, no, you don't want to get into it too deep. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote that on the notes, but everybody wants to pull me into this conversation. I don't want to have the conversation.
I didn't see it. Sorry.
Let the leaders lead. The leaders
yeah.
need to have a. The leaders need to lead. Enough is enough. That's, you know, if they don't want to get behind things, then, you know, maybe other people will run that do want to get behind things. And if that's the majority of, if that's the majority of the people really feel that way, they vote that way. And then we see stuff happen. Look, we got Melissa Cox in there. She's a good person. She's a reasonable person. Stevie LeBlanc, another good person. You know, there's good counselors. I'm really hopeful that, you know, the right thing's going to happen. But again, I don't want to be the spokesperson. Let the leaders lead.
Okay. Sorry, I yanked you into that.
Yeah, thanks.
I owe you.
Let's talk about Speedo Dodgeball. Let's talk about Bikini Speedo Dodgeball. That's what I want to talk about.
20 teams?
20 teams. The brackets are full.
I can't believe that's amazing.
Double elimination.
Good for you.
There's been a huge outpouring from the community of businesses to support this. The money's going to the next step. Next step is really they provide assistance and education and stuff for young adults and teens that are afflicted with cancer and life-threatening diseases.
Right.
So all the profits from the entry fees are going to go to them. It's just going to be a blast. I mean, the spectacle that is Bikini Speedo Dodgeball is just going to be crazy. Can I mention the people that put up money to sponsor sponsor this thing? I want to talk about Mamie's Kitchen, the team name, Mamie's Kitchen Muffin Tops, Passports Canadian Bacon, Good Morning Gloucester Rubber Rippers, Sugar Magnolia's Team Shameless, The Far Barn Grill Ass with Class, Saving Brian Ryan and Woods, North Shore CrossFit Wiggle 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 Team, Ed College House Doctors Blinded by the White, because they're all pasty, I guess.
That's a
scary team.
Right?
Jungle Silk Screening Jungle Fever, Beverly Athletic Club Kiss Our Backsides, another farm team, Swiss Farmy Knives, Mastransi Brothers Red, White, and Blue Balls, Muffy White Organization Hot Mess, Cape Ann Brewing Nacho Libre, and I hear that they're wearing Mexican wrestling masks, so that's going to be awesome. CrossFit Cape Ann has two teams, Buns and Guns and Power Snatch. And then Beach Gourmet, you know Beach Gourmet, they were part of the some more wine and cheese that they burned down, they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
They have a team, Drop It Like It's Hot. And the last team, Dog Bar, is American Bacon.
Beautiful. So, 20 teams. How many teams did you have last year?
We had five. We planned it. Last year was so amazing, and we planned it in 4 days, and we had five teams. This year we've been planning it for four months, and we have 20 teams, and it is going to be a spectacle.
Sounds like a lot of fun. What time does it start?
March 4th at noontime at the Farm Bar and Grill.
Yep.
Honest to God, you cannot explain anything to me that will happen in this area in 2012 that is going to be this type of spectacle. There's nothing that's going to be this kind of spectacle. For you not to go, you have to be absolutely negligent.
And is that a Saturday or a Sunday?
It's a Sunday.
Good. And the restaurant's open too? So people can have brunch and
eat there.
And a Bloody Mary and whatever. Yeah.
There's going to be the heat lamps. They're going to have
heat lamps.
They have heat lamps. They're going to be music, DJ. Yeah. There's going to be think about it. Bikinis, women wearing bikinis, men wearing Speedos.
And Speedos, right.
Dodgeball, outdoors, drinking.
Ed Collard
music,
in a Speedo.
Ed Collard in a Speedo. I know.
With his hat. Ed going to have a hat on?
He's wearing the poncho and his hat. All the events, the eating contests and everything, he has the same outfit. He doesn't stray. The one thing about Ed, you know what you got with Ed.
Right.
You know,
consistent.
Straightforward.
There's a lot to be said for consistent.
He's not a wishy-washy flip-flopper.
Yeah.
I mean, Ed Collard brings the thunder.
Good.
I'm fired up. I'm more fired up. I don't want to talk. Listen, no more conversations about the fort. No more conversations about. I want to talk
about anything about the fort. I asked about the state rules and regs.
24/7 bikini speedo dodgeball here at Good Morning Gloucester. That's it.
All right. That's enough. Yeah. That's enough. Hey,
Did you see the hearts that were all over town?
I did. And I saw them. It's funny you mentioned them in Lanesville because I was up there too. My Spanish teacher lives up there, and I saw them up there. I figured it was something to do with Valentine's Day.
I noticed them,
I think, a couple days before Valentine's Day. And they, you know, they stayed up until, you know, a couple days after Valentine's Day. But you never heard what they were all about?
I didn't, but you know, some people were asking me to try to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can tell you is if they were in Lanesville, right? There was hearts in Lanesville.
So I assume
that it had to be a Lanesville resident because no one goes to Lanesville unless you're from Lanesville.
How can you say that?
No, it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's a awesome. I mean, it's gorgeous.
No one goes to Lanesville,
I mean, really, like if someone's gonna do hearts. To get all the way out to Lanesville, you probably started in Lanesville, right? That's my assumption. No, is that not fair?
What do you mean? Like you have to you know plan a trip to go to Lanesville?
What kind? I mean, if you're gonna put hearts up and you know it's a central thing.
I
didn't see any out on the Eastern Point Yacht Club. Let's put it this way.
So
that was pretty cool. But I don't. I kind of like the mystery of not knowing exactly who it was.
Sure.
You know who it is, then it's like, oh, a little bit of the mystery kind of
fades. That might have been the thing about it, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, I'm sure we'll hear.
But hopefully the person kind of does it, you know, for years and years and years, but we never really find out. And then maybe when they die, it'll be on their tombstone or something.
Hey, there was a heart on 128 a couple of years ago. Some artist put a heart up, you know, where the movie theater is, the older movie theater, and it's on the northbound side, on the right, just after the movie theater, in those kind of woods, marshy area in there. Somebody put a heart up on a big, like a 4x4 piece of plywood, and it was up there for days. And then I saw something in the paper about it. Some artist put it up there, and then somebody made him put some kind of a disclaimer on it. I don't know what the heck it was all about, but it ended badly. The kid had to take it down. I felt bad for him, but it was a good thought.
Got his point across, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a good thought. So I was out driving around this weekend showing houses. And,
what's going on in real estate today?
There's a lot out there. There's a lot going on. It's after the Super Bowl. It's like flipping a switch. People start thinking about moving. They want to, you know, get a bigger house, get a smaller house, get a summer house, whatever. And the Super Bowl is always the unofficial start to the real estate season. So
it seems like there was some prices have ratcheted downwards. It seems like to me. No.
No. Actually, they've stabilized. They haven't gone down much at all. Overall, they haven't gone down in the last year. They have stabilized. Certain pockets have gone down. In certain price ranges, it's overall it's stabilized. So
A couple on Hawthorne Point over there, over by on the way to Niles Beach.
Yep.
Is that Hawthorne Point? Or is that
condos Raven?
The condos in there.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem like they were going for a whole lot of money compared to what they have in the past. But that area, I thought it was a pretty good deal.
Yep. I think there's one in the eights over there, and there's one in the sevens over there.
Yeah.
So I don't
That's a nice spot.
In front of me. I was in Magnolia, and there's one on 5 Butler Street.
Where's
short.
Butler?
Butler's right off of – it starts off almost off the circle – it's a dog leg. One end of it's in Manchester. The other end of it's in Gloucester.
Okay.
And there's a little ranch over there for like $3.25. It's very, very cute. Very cute. 166 Hesperus is a bank-owned property for low threes. That's a two-bedroom. It needs some love. You know, it needs some paint, not heavy-duty stuff. But it's right off this. I love Magnolia. I know you love East Gloucester. I love East Gloucester too, but I really like Magnolia as well. And then there's a beaut that I can't believe is still on the market. It's more money. A huge house, lot of house, 3,500 square feet at 100 Hesperus. That's like 675. But it's got views. It's got seasonal views. It's got an au pair suite.
Wow.
Four bedrooms, two and a half, three bathrooms. Big house, lot of house.
Does it need updating, or is it already
No, it's in great shape. In great shape.
Really? Interesting.
Yep.
So, that probably would have gone for like $850 back in 2005.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
Absolutely correct. I also toured the there's eight new condominiums going up on Cliff Road, which used to be the old like nursing home that they took down in Magnolia.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Those are gorgeous. Gorgeous views. Those all start at a million. Those are too rich for my blood, but
all the money.
All the money.
Is that Wendover? Is that who's doing those?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They everything they do is gold. They don't do great work.
Yep. It's quality work. And they're not just cherry picking either. I don't know a lot about the company other than I've seen the work that they do, and the work is nice work. But they're doing a project on an apartment house on off of Beckford Street in Beverly. You know, Gloucester Crossing area, which is, you know, there was a fire and they bought a piece of land over there, over by the railroad tracks, for crying out loud.
Wow.
And so they're not just doing the high-end stuff. They've done a couple of buildings on Rantoul Street in Beverly. They've got another one going up now. And they're all over the place. But this project in Magnolia was stunning. I think they've already got two of them under agreement. Actually, excuse me, three of them are already under agreement.
Have you ever had any dealings with them?
So I haven't yet, no. Oh. No, other than to see the property. I haven't sold anything.
Wait a second. You said you were in Magnolia on Sunday?
I was there
showing
on
houses?
Saturday and Sunday, yep.
And you didn't come to the mug-up? Is that what you're telling me? Is this what I'm led to believe?
It's working.
You.
I was with people.
You.
I know. I could have brought them, I suppose. But I wasn't sure, you know, if I wasn't sure I just wasn't sure, Joe.
Well, let me tell you this. If you would have brought your customers, if you would have brought your customers to the mug-up.
How you behave.
If you would have brought your customers to the mug up, they would have immediately wanted to buy a house in this area because the fun we have there and the community spirit that exists at those mug ups, they would have been like, where do we sign the paper? I don't care. Just get me as close as.
They're coming to Gloucester anyway. I know. I was afraid you'd scare them away. I mean, what goes on at those mug ups?
We eat like pigs is what happens.
I haven't been to one yet. Yeah,
we eat like Viking pigs that get stuck in a sugar factory, in a fat factory.
I saw the picture you put up of the food that was served there.
God, it's terrible! It's terrible. Yeah. I'm telling you, we have a lot of fun, but it's coffee. Actually, there was some healthy alternatives. There was some mixed berries, and there was some kind of juiced beverage, a couple different kind of like a smoothie beverage and a juice.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you put all those other things, like the coffee rolls and the sugar and the sausage biscuits with the cream cheese, I mean, well, you got to pick the berries or you got to take the sausage with the biscuits and the cream cheese. You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
Hey, I've been on a detox diet for 2 weeks. It just ended. So
how much did you lose?
Well, I wasn't trying to lose weight. I think I lost five.
The cleanse? Is that the cleanse?
It's to get. I didn't have any processed food for 2 weeks, and I was trying to get the sugar out of my system. So I was literally eating not much fruit at all, only apples and pears. I was eating greens and some nuts, but you know they had to be raw nuts. What else was on that thing? Beans. I could eat, you know, beans and lentils, things like that.
All right, here's the question. Now, it's going to be two-part. Was it difficult, and as you progressed, and I assume that you started feeling better and better, did it get progressively easier, or did it get more and more difficult that you were craving the crap?
The first 4 days or 4 days, maybe 5 days, were horrible. I had a real hard time. I didn't cheat, but it was hard. It was really hard. By day 5 or 6, because I couldn't have any dairy at all, and I love a cup of decaf with half and half and Splenda in the morning. And I couldn't have that. Couldn't have coffee or tea. Nothing with
not even tea.
Nothing like that. Yeah, because tea's got caffeine in it, and that was hard. I drink decaf coffee anyways, but by day 5 or 6, it wasn't hard. By day 7, I noticed a huge difference in my energy level. I'm not a slug anyways, but
yep.
I noticed that I have a lot more energy now.
Yep.
And the second week was easy. The bad thing was, it was just my mouth. Because I could see the stuff. I could see the peanut butter. I was dreaming about it. The energy bar. I love those metrics, those big energy bars, those 400 calories. And I was dreaming about this stuff because my mouth was bored. You can only eat so much salad with oil and vinegar on it.
Right.
I need something gooey. But it was all right after the 2 weeks, and I didn't 2 weeks was up on Friday. I didn't go off the deep end this weekend yet. I'm kind of used to it now. So
wow. I'm envious. Envious.
I don't know if I am or not. Like I said, I got up on the wrong side of the hammock today. Sometimes I wonder if it's all worth it. I may cross the street sometime and get, run over by an Entenmann's truck. That could be the way I go.
That's karma. That's your Buddhism karma right there. The Entenmann's truck
right.
is going to take you out when you cross.
Yeah.
That is tremendous. That is great. I love that, Kenny. That was good.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, you bought a juicer, huh?
Yes. Yes, my wife gets things in her head, and I generally do not have a say in these things. But we got it was kind of a she got the thing in her head, but I was behind her 100%. When we went to Mexico, like every 30 yards on the main street there, they have Fifth Avenue and Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
There's a place where you could get fresh juice. They put the juice in the machine and extracts juice. Because a lot of like American places that they claim to be like juice places, it's juice concentrate and like 5 pounds of sugar and it's disgusting.
You don't need all that sugar in the juice.
I don't understand. I think, is it filler? Fruits. I don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. But this thing, so we said when we got, we were having this every morning. We were having these juices, these fresh juices, all this different stuff, mangoes and it was chai, all these different kind of like stuff, and we felt great. It's a better way to start the day than coffee and stuff like that. So she was on a mission she gets in her internet zone, and she was all about doing the research. So she spent 5 days doing research.
Yeah.
She came up with reading countless reviews and everything else, and she came up with this juicer. It's called the Breville Juice Fountain Compact Fruit and Vegetable Juicer.
Yep.
And we are juicing. Now, she would tell you that it's 100% a positive thing. I will tell you this. It is not inexpensive this time of year to run a juicer.
Right.
In the summertime, if you have a farm share anywhere, cooperative farm share and stuff.
Right, right.
A CSA, and you do not buy a juicer, you are an idiot. Because those CSAs, especially the one we belong to, Appleton Farms, you can fill up bags full of fruit and stuff like that.
Right,
strawberries, all this kind of stuff, and you just stick it in there, and it just sucks out all the goodness. And there's no pulp. It is so delicious and refreshing, and you don't have to worry about things going bad. Like this, the stuff starts to get a little bit, funky or something, you stick
right.
it in
you can
it.
Throw in the juicer.
It's even riper. It's even sweeter. It's delicious. So the one we got, I think it was $99 on Amazon. I have a link to it on my Amazon page.
Yep.
I think in stores they're like $130, but the Amazon page is a better way to go, I think. But yeah, it's a no-brainer, especially if you say you have a CSA share and you have children, can't get children to eat fruit, or you don't like to eat. I don't like to eat fruit. I'm terrible like that. Yeah. I will juice all
You'll
day
You'll drink
long.
The juice, right, yeah. right. I went to the my chiropractor that I see every week is my, like, my health coach. And before I did this
Why don't you give him a plug? Why don't you give him a plug? What's his name?
He actually lives in Gloucester. His office is in Beverly, but it's Paul Krafka. He's with Stephen Franson, who I've been – I saw Stephen – it's Stephen Franson's office. He's at the Cummings Center. And I've been seeing him for 7 or 8 years now. And Paul has been treating me for the last 2 or 3. Yeah. And he just moved with his wife, and I think he's got 2 kids. They live over in East Gloucester. And he came from the West Coast, and he born and bred in California. He's a surfer. But anyways, he's a food Nazi. And, you know, he's one of these paleo people, and I don't eat meat. But he's trying to get me, you know, he's not pushing it hard, but, he's trying to get me to eat more protein and whatever. So I said to him, we were talking about diets, and he said, I want you to keep a diary for a week of everything you eat. So I did. I wrote down everything I ate for a week. Every single thing I put in my mouth, I put down on this piece of paper. And I dropped it off for him to look at. And then we went and we had a sit down. A 20-minute sit-down about just what I was eating, and he handed me back the piece of paper, and I had typed it all out nice, and you know, each day, and little comments about this, that, or the other. You know, I don't usually eat this, but I'm being honest this week, and da-da-da-da-da. So I got it was covered with red pen markups and comments, like you get back a paper from, you know, when you're in high school, and he gave me a D-minus for what I was eating.
I can only imagine what I would have if you were going to
D-minus. Yeah, I got a D-minus.
You think he did that just to scare the shit out of you?
Well, he said to me, I've known you for a long time. I'm not going to pull any punches. But, he was telling the truth. And one of the things he said to me, and you're talking about your juicer, he said, we eat way too much fruit because it's so available. He says, you've got to be careful with it. So all I'm saying to you, because there's so much sugar in just the fruit. I'm just throwing that out there. Because I eat 4 or 5 pieces of fruit a day. And he said, that's way too much. You should have 1 piece of fruit a day, maybe 2.
Wait a second. He's taking shots at actually eating raw fruit? Like, that's bad?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because it's
God,
so
there's
available.
No hope for me. There's
no,
no
I
hope.
Know. I know. That's why, again, I'm going back to bed. It's just one of those. I'm eating rice. Brown rice, and I'm eating, and the shrimp, I keep a bag of shrimp in my, he says, most of that shrimp, he says, make sure it's not the farm-raised stuff, because he says, you don't know what they're feeding it, and the eggs, you got to buy the organic, the free-range eggs, it's unbelievable.
Cost you $5,000 a week.
I know it.
I know the free-range.
But I'll tell you, I feel great.
Well, there you go. Why don't you go back to bed right now? While we wrap. I think we're good, Kenny. I think we got another podcast in the books right here.
Okay. I will I'll talk to you later. Say hi to Ed.
All right, my brother. Be well. Peace out, people.